Repairs are underway to stringers on Discovery's external tank. Protectionism is blamed for regulatory strife. And is Young Eagles doing its job? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, January 5th, 2010. Technicians working on Space Shuttle Discovery's external fuel tank in the Vehicle Assembly Building at NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida began repairs Monday on three stringers that recently were found to have small cracks on their tops. Engineers are still analyzing data from testing and X-ray scans of all 108 stringers on the outside of the intertank section. Managers decided Thursday to have those cracks repaired in a fashion similar to repairs made on two stringers found cracked after Discovery's aborted November 5th launch. The repair work is estimated to require 2 to 3 days. The next available launch window for Discovery's STS-133 mission to the International Space Station is February 3rd through the 10th. Pilots and operators of aircraft on what Europe calls the N register have been cut a little slack by regulators there, as egregious new regulations proposed by EASA have been delayed from 2012 to 2014. The new regs would interfere with many IFR flights between countries in Europe. The International Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association reports in its latest newsletter that EASA's proposals to hamstring N registered operators in Europe will be subject to bilateral negotiations, which may or may not produce a workable compromise, and the organization is not optimistic. IAOPA Senior VP Martin Robinson says everyone says they want full reciprocity while secretly trying to give less than they receive. He blames the atmosphere on the fight between the U.S. and Boeing on one side and Europe and Airbus on the other. Quote, "At the root of the argument is government support for Boeing and Airbus, and everything from downline repair station charges to pilot licensing is governed by that. We are small cogs in a large intercontinental dispute, and bigger wheels are going to grind us up," unquote. ANN is getting some interesting comments on a new guest editorial by Rich Davidson, owner of the Lee Bottom Flying Field near Hanover, Indiana, which is critical of EAA's Young Eagles program. Rich, who's as close to grassroots aviation as anyone, asks the reasonable question, if the answer to declining pilot numbers is giving free rides to kids, and almost 1.6 million kids have received free rides, where are the pilots? Is Young Eagles really about encouraging new student pilot starts, or is it about attracting more revenue to EAA? Can we take a clue from the fact that EAA recruits celebrities to be Young Eagles chairman, not administrators with proven resumes? There's some thought-provoking stuff in this piece dated January 4th. You can find it at aero-news.net. Still ahead, the Airline Pilots Association gets a new president. SAFE's Pilot Training Reform Symposium is taking shape. And two ABLE flight graduates reach out to disabled veterans. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, January 5th. I'm Paul Plack. Delta Airlines Captain Lee Moak, a 22-year veteran of the company, took over January 1st as the 9th president of the Airline Pilots Association International. He leads a team of national officers who are aggressively implementing the strategic and political priorities established by the association's board of directors. These elected pilot representatives, acting for 53,000 members at 38 airlines and supported by a highly experienced staff, are expected to engage at all levels on every issue that influences the careers and lives of commercial airline pilots. Moak currently flies 767s for Delta. He began his first term as Delta Master Executive Council Chairman on October 1, 2005, 2 weeks after Delta Airlines filed for bankruptcy. The years that followed also brought U.S. Airways' attempted hostile takeover of Delta and the merger of Delta with Northwest Airlines. SAFE, the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, reports progress in putting together its GA Pilot Training Reform Symposium in Atlanta in May. The event will build on the AOPA Flight Training Summit held in November and focuses on training reform as a cornerstone for reducing fatal accidents, increasing student pilot starts, and improving student retention. Participation is by invitation from SAFE and by request from stakeholders in the pilot training process. At least 150 top aviation professionals are expected to convene in the Crowne Plaza Hotel in Atlanta, May 4th through the 5th. Symposium Committee Chair Bob Wright says the event could expand to accommodate up to 300 attendees if demand dictates. SAFE envisions keynote speakers and as many as 24 distinguished individuals drawn from industry, academia, the flight instructor community, and FAA, who will be divided among 6 moderated panels. The panelists will propose necessary changes to training doctrine, standards, and curricula, as well as flight instructor training, testing, and accreditation that will ensure a robust future for general aviation. Breakout groups, charged with further analyzing the issues raised and crafting additional recommendations, will convene on day 2 of the event. A detailed report will be posted on the symposium website 60 days after the event. You'll be hearing more leading up to this. Get details at www.pilottrainingreform.org. And finally today, beginning January 15th, 2 able flight pilots will fly more than 1,000 miles to meet with wounded veterans in 4 states to tell them how they can receive an able flight scholarship. Heather Schultz and Sean O'Donnell were paralyzed themselves as a result of spinal cord injuries, and both earned their pilot licenses with able flight scholarships. Looking for a way to give back, they've created Freedom Flight 2011. Heather and Sean will meet with wounded veterans to encourage them to become pilots and show them the specially adapted LSA they use for flight training. They're also using the tour to help create a flight training scholarship fund to be used only for wounded veterans. They've already reached more than half their goal of $15,000 for 2 scholarships this year, and those funds are available immediately for a qualified candidate. The January tour stops include Saturday the 15th at AOPA headquarters in Frederick, Maryland, then at Dominion Aviation in Richmond, Virginia, Monday the 17th in Kennesaw, Georgia at Hanson Air Group on Cobb County McCollum Field, and Friday the 21st in Sebring, Florida at the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo. All tour stops are subject to weather conditions. Find out more at ableflight.org. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll wrap up a look ahead at 2011 with our editor-in-chief, Jim Campbell. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.